Today's show is sponsored by Dana H. from Littleton, Colorado. If you would like to help with our telethon this month and sponsor a show, please go to rsr.org or realscienceradio.com and click the telethon banner at the top of the site or click sponsor a show. Thank you so much and God bless.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I'm Fred Williams, host of Real Science Radio. Today, we're going to revisit the incredible God Is Now Here ministry run by Daniel Hedrick that was part of our community for decades. But first, an announcement. Bob was scheduled to give a talk tonight on the hydroplate theory at our local creation group, Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. Now, with Bob's busy in heaven with more important things to do, so what we're going to instead do is show Bob's presentation that he gave to the Twin Cities Creation Group in Minnesota back in May. After the presentation, joining us via Zoom will be none other than Brian Nickel to answer questions from the audience. Brian has been on numerous RSR shows with Bob through the years and is a big-time expert on the hydroplate theory. So please join us tonight at Holly Hills Church in Littleton, or if you can't make it, you can always join us via Zoom. And you can get all the details at youngearth.org. That's youngearth.org. So back to the God Is Now Here ministry. Many years ago, I think before I met Bob, I was at an outdoor fair in downtown Denver. And there's two things that still stand out in my mind about that experience. One of them was there was this incredibly really good grilled corn on the cob. I've never had anything like it. It still sticks in my mind. The other thing was, I remember walking by this booth, and it had a sign that said, God is nowhere, or if you look at it differently, God is now here. So I wasn't sure what I was going to encounter when I entered the booth, and I think that's what's the brilliance of that name. And I quickly learned that it was a group of incredibly well-versed Christians with very strong apologetic arguments. I remember it was the first time I met Jamie Schofield. He's a former Navy seaman who, among other things, was their radio guy. And he later became our producer for Real Science Radio for many years. Anyway, at Bob's memorial last month, the group's founder, Daniel Hedrick, who had flown in for the weekend from the East Coast, he stopped by to say hi, but with so many things going on, we didn't get much of a time to talk. So I decided after the memorial to reach out to Daniel, and I wanted to talk to him about his fantastic God Is Now Here ministry. It's really fascinating stuff, and I knew the RSR audience would just love to hear about it. So, joining us on air is Daniel Hedrick. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It's such a pleasure to be able to speak about God Is Now Here, and of course, my relationship with Bob and how he so radically helped our ministry go forward through the years. And thank you so much for this opportunity.
Yeah, sure. So I know you have quite the interesting beginning with when you were first introduced to Christ and just the whole background that led up to where you met Bob and how it impacted your ministry. So could you maybe take us through that part of the history?
Yeah, I think it's kind of relevant and important to note that the way I think it's funny, but during my formative years, my parents didn't want to argue or war about religion in any way. So they decided that the way in which we would worship on Sunday would be through John Elway. So I became, an expert with everything Broncos, pretty much that entire time that the Elway was around. And then when I got into college, there were just little things that were happening. As an example, some random guy said, hey, you probably need a Bible. I'm like, really? I don't know why I would need a Bible, but okay, fine, I'll take it. And then strangely, I'd just carry it with me, like as a good luck charm or something. Yep. And then as time went on, I ended up meeting more and more people that elevated my, awareness that maybe God is important and something to consider. And as an intelligence officer, I spent every single day for 4.5 years reading through what we call message traffic. And message traffic, you just imagine, would be any data that could come from any source. And now it's my responsibility to read through all of that data and figure out what the most important and relevant information is for the flight crews, the air crews, the mission planning, and all that.
Intelligence officer. Huh.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And because of that experience, I end up having the role that I have today is that I do information security for the largest corporations in the world. But I guess what I'm really trying to say is that my history has caused me to have to filter through a lot of data. And then, of course, once you get into theology and science and all the things that, you know, anything that KGov and RSR provide, I mean, you know, it's a vast amount of data. So my background gave me the ability to filter through that content, just like I always had, to be able to bubble things up to the top.
Okay.
And, you know, when the salvation experience came, I guess, or what caused me to get right face to face with Christ was a Mormon came to my house, knocked on the door, and they said, you know, have you ever read another testament of Jesus Christ? And I'm like, another one? I haven't even read the first one. You know, like, I didn't know there was another one. So this is actually an interesting story. I got the Book of Mormon, and I am working night shifts, and I'm working from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., and I'm just reading through it. And the strangest thing ever, and you have to be in the military to understand it, I suppose, or just understand what it means to work 12-hour shifts. Nobody from the day shift comes to the night, ever. You just don't do it because you're supposed to be asleep or taking care of business, you know, your own personal things. You have such a short amount of time. But this major comes in and he goes, hey, what are you reading? And he was from the day shift, so he shouldn't have been there, right? And within 10 minutes out of my mouth came the word, well, is this nothing but of Satan? And he goes, yep. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? That's insane. Wow. It says right here, another testament of Jesus Christ. You know? So like I was blown away by it, you know?
So he saw that you were reading the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
And was he the one who said, oh, that's from Satan, or was that you?
I said it because he was talking, you know, like he was describing and just whatever. And that was my understanding of his words. And then he introduced me to a guy named Jim Harvey, and he was a Black Hawk helicopter pilot. And he is the one that just basically said, if you were to die today, do you know whether or not you go to heaven? So the reason why that's important is, yeah, I accepted the Lord right then and there. But I had always wondered why I didn't become a Mormon. And that's the reason why God Is Now Here began. And the very first apologist that I ever became familiar with was a guy named Walter Martin. You probably heard of him.
Oh, absolutely. The original Bible Answer Man, if I recall.
That's right. And he was precious, too. That guy was amazing. Yeah. And he had this thing called Martin Under Fire. And when I listened to that program, I basically said to myself, that's me. Even though I was absolutely not qualified to pretty much talk on any subject about anything yet, I had known that that's the kind of Christian I wanted to be. So what's, I guess, also sort of interesting to this is because everybody comes to Christ differently. When I came in, right, I got a Black Hawk helicopter pilot guy talking to me, but that's not the ministry. Like, his ministry was different. He wasn't charismatic. But my first, I don't know how I would say this, desire to know more about God maybe came through praise and worship and singing and stuff like that. And the really good, call it entertainment now. I mean, I might say that, but I really enjoyed that. And so I really got into the charismatic side of things to the point that maybe was over the top. I literally was casting demons out of people. And I remember your
beginnings was with the charismatic. I didn't realize the Black Hawk helicopter pilot, he wasn't a charismatic.
He wasn't, no. Yeah, in fact, he kind of told me that the direction I was going was probably not the right direction. But, you know, that's fine, whatever. You know, I think I still met some beautiful people and blah, blah, blah. You know, I could talk about that area of things. But what I really just want to say is because of this broad-based experience, what happened was my youngest daughter was going to be born, or my first daughter was going to be born. And my wife did not want her to be born in Massachusetts for whatever reason, lots of reasons I could bring that up too. But the bottom line is we moved to Denver. And that weekend, I happened to go out to the People's Fair. I didn't know it was the People's Fair. And while we're, you know, just kind of running around, and in fact, I had my daughter in a stroller, all of a sudden this guy comes throwing up condoms at us.
Oh, man.
Like, are you kidding me? What the heck? Where am I? You know, like, I was like, what the heck is this? And then I'm kind of condensing things, but at the end of the day, that became something very interesting to me, because if you're familiar with the People's Fair, which you are, you were there. Just what I used to say is, imagine on a weekend, you know, 300 to 500,000 of my closest friends are all going to meet in Capitol Hill. So why don't you come down and say hi?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I'd be glad to talk about any part of how the foundation of God Is Now Here came. But what I'm just trying to suggest to anyone and everyone is, we all come from different areas.
Yep.
But the information's there. You can't say that the science isn't there. You can't say the theology isn't there, because it is. You yeah. just have to make the effort to study. And when you meet someone like Bob, oh my gosh, what a way to advance, you know, like in a short amount of time. And
Big time. It's same.
And I have great stories to talk about that, you know. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, you know, just thinking about Walter Martin, the one thing I remember about that guy that stuck out was, he told the story once of how I think it was a Jehovah Witness, it might have been a Mormon, came to his door, and he told him, you know, poor Jehovah Witness, you know, to go to Walter Martin's door.
Exactly.
So Walter Martin, he told him, hey, I knew you were coming. And the guy's like, how'd you know? Did the neighbor call ahead or something? He goes, oh, no. See, here in the Bible, it says false prophets will come calling.
That's so awesome. I love it. Yeah. I've always liked that guy. He was a firebrand. I mean, that guy was just totally on fire. I remember the first time with Bob that caught me off guard is, I did become friends, not just an acquaintance of Bob. And so I got to do a lot of personal things, I guess, you know, with him and his family when they were younger. And I remember one time we were going through another fair, like this is before, I don't know, we were just traveling somewhere. And then I remember they were selling wares, whatever it was. I can't remember if they're, you know, selling honey or whatever, but they had a picture. And it's kind of a strange thing, but they had a, let's say, a provocative picture of a woman selling honey. And Bob just said, you know, there's children here. And this is not acceptable. This is public, you know, and I had never seen anybody do that before. And yeah. I had always evangelized, but I had not really ever kind of like outwardly judged somebody like that. So that's also interesting that, you know, well, I remember really when the word said something like, God cannot judge unless there's a standard lifted up. And I immediately was like, whoa, Bob is setting a standard, you know? And so that was also very interesting to me.
So Daniel, did you meet Bob in person after you saw his TV show, or how did that all start?
Isn't it fun when you ask someone how they met Bob the first time? And yeah. I'd love to know how many people met Bob the quote the first time through the TV show, because I would be in that list.
Yeah, and I am
what
too.
Happened when Yeah, when we moved to Colorado, basically what happened while I was, you know, just trying to kind of get my sea legs, because I had lived in Colorado my whole life and stuff, but my wife was watching LaCie Broadcasting, and she saw this guy putting up advertisements on cardboard paper. You know, it wasn't even quality.
I forgot
anything,
about that.
You know? Yeah. and then she goes, I think you should listen to him because it sounds like you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You know? And then we were watching the show, and it became a habit immediately. Like, okay, we didn't, you're either there or you're not, right? I don't remember VHS tapes being recording or anything like that, like we can do today. But what happened was, there was an advertisement for pots and pans, and this guy named Kevin, who was a friend of Bob's, and I can't remember the other guy, but it's fine. And the reason why I purchased it is or got the opportunity is because it wasn't the pots and pans. It was the last part, free food. So they were actually going to create a 7-course meal for you, and proving that the pots and pans were so great. They came to the house. I, of course, bought the pots and pans. Why wouldn't I? And then he goes, hey, would you like to meet Bob? And I'm like, of course I would. And so from then on, I started going out to the show there in, well, I guess it was kind of a near, I'm trying to remember where it is. They're like Highlands Ranch area. And probably did the show maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 times, something like that. And then that's when he went to South Bend and pretty much never saw him again.
Yeah.
From the TV program point of view.
Were you still a charismatic at that time when you met Bob?
Yeah. And then, oh, that's a great transition. So what happened was, spending time with him at the show and all that, one of the things he did is he had this men's group. And the men's group was to go hiking for, I can't remember if it was 3 days or 4 days. I really apologize. I went a couple times. And this is the best part of the whole thing ever. And this is the most important thing, at least to me, and how it changed my ability to theologically defend myself and philosophically too. was Bob was very creative in my experience.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
one of the things that he would do, which is to me very bizarre, is he wouldn't decide how to get home. Like, literally, we're going to go for 3 days out in the middle of the woods, go out there and do whatever, and he would not prepare himself a ride home. I'm like, are you kidding me? Who would do that? And
that
and
is so
did
Bob.
It because, yeah, he did it because he wanted to, I don't know. Whatever. I'll tell you what happened. He just came up to me and goes, I don't have a ride. Would you give me a ride? I'm like, well, of course I will. And of course, he knew he was setting me up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was 2.5 hours and he just began to illustrate the notion of the plot, basically. And, you know, I guess if I were going to keep it really simply, rightly dividing the word, or even keeping it more simple, the difference between Israel and the Gentiles and some more, obviously more details. That's a lot of time to talk. But I think the reason why Bob was impressed with me is because of my retention of a lot of data, even though I had been, quote, a charismatic, even in that very moment. Who knows, I probably would have spoken tongues right there or something. I'm kidding, of course. But my point is that I think he was surprised how much I could defend my faith, even though I was wrong, let's say, you know, on particular area or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I just think he felt compelled. He's like, dude, I'm definitely going to communicate to you exactly what he believed to be true at the time or whatever. And this is before the plot was, maybe the plot was 50% written. And it blew my mind to the point that the guy that had been helping me do God Is Now Here, when I came to him and told him, he actually thought that I had reversed course, that I went back to being a Mormon. So it's not that I ever was a Mormon, but when, yeah, I just quickly communicate, I go, you're not going to believe what happened. And he goes, what, you became a Mormon? It was kind of a joke is the point. And of course, the things that happen from there is that now when I go and do God Is Now Here, it's not always science-based, right? Which was preliminary or primary what I wanted to accomplish, was to never allow an atheist a reason to not believe in God. And I think I've done that radically well my whole life. But now I could add into the theological so that when someone comes and says X, Y, and Z, I would say the foundation of a Paulinist point of view is very, very helpful. And I'm probably getting too deep on theology for Real Science Radio. We can get into science if, yeah, you like.
We will soon enough, I'm sure.
Sure.
You know, you mentioned the plot. So just for the listening audience, you can get that. We sell it at our store. Really would help us out. It's at rsr.org/plot. And you know, Daniel, you introduced me to the plot. I don't know if you remember that. It was in the basement of Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship when we used to meet off of Holly Street.
Sure.
Near Colorado Boulevard. Days. Yeah. So, yeah, you got me in a little bit of trouble there, but that's another story that you know about. I kind of became a devil's advocate for that point of view because I wasn't even 100% agreeing with it. And that's a totally different story, but it got me in hot water with the president of that organization.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. I'm so glad that I could mess your life up and, you know, blame Bob first, of course.
Yeah.
But the blessing that I have with the plot is that Bob came to me and he said, you know, I want you to go through chapters 10 and 11 and I want you to edit it. It's kind of a side story, if you don't mind me saying, for many years for God Is Now Here, we had a meeting that we would have every Monday or every Friday, and we would go from 5 a.m. all the way till about 8 for 15 years. And just an amazing amount of time that we'd spend. But what my point is that I got so used to doing that, that I might add another day or two to doing that same thing. Why? Because I got to edit those two chapters. And one of the blessings that Bob threw at me was I was writing him once. And I said, you know, Bob, I spent all this time and I have no idea what edits you take. You know, I can't, you know, like, come on, provide some feedback. And he goes, Daniel, I take all of your edits. Like, yeah, right. I don't believe you at all, but that's fine. He was very positive. My point is that he was just such an encourager. And I am so blessed. Every time I even think of the plot, I'm like, yeah, I got some skin in the game, you know? So I'm very thankful.
Yeah. So back to God Is Now Here. I want to get back to the start of the history with that and just some of the experiences you had running that tent. Because you got to imagine, I'm sure listeners are thinking, oh my goodness, you've got this tent and you got atheists that are coming in. Probably a lot of them thinking, all right, I got somebody on my side. This is going to be great. It's like walking in a tarot card booth. And then they get inundated with truth. And so I'm sure there's lots of interesting encounters you've had over the years. How did that all start? The whole God Is Now Here.
So what happened was I was at a place called Heritage Christian Center in Denver. And I was running the youth ministry there. And that's how I met my primary sidekick that helped me through God Is Now Here, Dwayne Da Silva. His wife and I went downtown to evangelize. And while I was evangelizing down there, I got surrounded by probably 15 people that all wanted to beat me up. And she's on the outside in. So it's literally 15 people surrounding me. And they were telling me that I had to leave because they didn't want to hear anything about the Lord. And I'm like, well, I got news for you. I'm older than you. I've lived here before you. And I was here before you. And I'm not leaving. Yeah. So I just kept chatting it up with these people. And you know what's interesting is each one of these guys would get offended or whatever. And they'd come up and mock hit me. They'd never hit me. But they'd walk up and like pretend to hit me and just walk away. Next thing I knew, I am by myself with the leader of this group. And you can imagine the most rugged street guy you ever met with the brass knuckles, not the knuckles, but you know those gloves that they have with the pointy things on them.
Yep.
And then he had tattoos on his face, the whole bit. I mean,
helmet with horns.
Whacked. Yeah, the whole everything. Whatever he was, that was the guy. And I'm just chatting with him and I said, listen, man, you heard everything I had to say. All your friends had left and you're the only one left. How can you say that what I'm telling you is not true? He looked at me and he goes, you know what? You are right, but I'm not ready for this, and I got to get back to my friends. And,
oh, wow.
And they left. Huh. But the reason why I'm telling you this is because Susan was behind me. And listen, I was a spooky spiritual guy then, right? She said flat out, the reason why I did not get hit is because she saw an angelic protection around me. Now, again, whether that's true or not, I'm just telling you that's what happened.
Yeah.
So the next thing I know, Dwayne and I become part of the youth ministry together. The very next year, we went to People's Fair again, and that would have been 94, something like that. We go to the Hindu tent, and the Hindu tent guy is handing out cookies. And he asked if I wanted any. And I just said, well, you know, no, I really don't want to take your cookies because I know that in a future life that I'm going to have to make cookies for you. And I'm not a very good cook. So the guy is like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then like right after that, we run into a transsexual transvestite tent, which is very awkward. And, you know, all these men in dresses, and I was talking with them. And what was funny is as we began to debate or whatever, they couldn't defend themselves. And one guy flat out said, well, you wait till Chris gets here. Chris will talk to you. You know? I'm like, okay, where's Chris? You know? And then Chris comes and we end up having a conversation. And then he gets so infuriated. He says, well, you need to leave. You just need to get your own tent. And I'm telling you, when I heard those words, I was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
Of course I should do that.
Thank goodness for that tranny.
Yeah. I am so thankful for him. I really am. You know, and I there's a great stories around trannies in my life, unfortunately, but yes. And what happened was literally from one year on to the next, I remember a phrase back in second grade, Mrs. White, she was my reading teacher, where we actually had reading, writing, and arithmetic, all three R's. And I remember the phrase, God is nowhere, God is now here. And I was like, that might work. That might be a really cool name for a tent. No one will know at all where we're coming from. And so this is a good transition, because what happens? When we put that tent up, by the way, the whole process of going through the fair and festival over a 2 or 3 day experience, all the things that are not even about just being in that tent, getting there and all that is just amazing. All the things that happen. But typically what will happen is someone will look at the sign and they'll, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard this, sir, does your sign say God is nowhere or God is now here? And so I'll just look at them and I'll say, yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Very, very good. You know?
Yeah.
And then I kind of got more sophisticated with things. And then someone would say, hey, does that say God is now here or God is nowhere? And I said, sir, I'm very impressed. Only 5% ever see both. And then I would say 10% would only see God is now here. And then everybody else would see God is nowhere. So I never really knew what people's perspective is. You can pretty well discern it pretty soon. But then we would play a lot of games with people. If you remember when you were there at the tent, we had a lot of signs and books on the table to further the conversation in any area you wanted. We had every book that you could think of that was religious. You know, we had the Bhagavad Gita, Book of Mormon, Quran, lots and lots of stuff. I mean, anything you could think of, we pretty much had on this tent. Or in, you know, we called it the book table.
And if I remember, you had different experts at different parts of the tent. I think you were Like, yep. Refresh my memory. You might have been the science guy, or were you like the enforcer?
Yeah, I was probably anytime anyone got, let's say, hostile, that would be my job. Whereas Dwayne was more the science guy, and then Chris was the relationship guy. So anytime we had someone, you know, with marital problems or, you know, problems with kids or something like that, which you think God is nowhere, and then you're talking about your kids. Yeah, that's fine. We're good. We got Chris over here.
Yeah.
And then Jamie, who you previously mentioned, you know, I don't know if you knew this, but he was a Satanist in the Navy.
Yeah.
So for him to come into our life was awesome. Because at that time, Harry Potter and stuff like that, he was an expert in.
Oh, absolutely.
So anytime that stuff came up, which I could care less about personally, I was 100% more on the theology. Like, as an example, I ran the predestination and free will site for a really long time at Theology Online and also Christia. I don't know if you remember Christia. It was what do they call that? Listserv, before we got into all these websites and stuff.
Yeah. So my experience with Jamie, and I think it was like maybe a couple years after that first time I came in the booth, he was debating some guy on the King James Only. Some guy came in and says, "You guys should be King James Only." And it was such a good debate. I'd never really knew much about that argument that people push that. And it was just fascinating to listen to it. And, you know, the poor guy, Jamie destroyed the poor guy in a very nice way.
Yeah, the reason why he was able to do that, not only because of his own efforts and everything, but I do want to say, because we spent time, huge amounts of time studying. In fact, one of the rules that I had was, if you are not at the 5 o'clock filter meeting, that's what we called it, the 5 o'clock filter, meaning if you're not at the 5 o'clock meeting, then maybe you don't care enough to actually prepare to be able to present the gospel or any other thing. And so not everybody wanted to be there at 5 o'clock, and they wouldn't. They'd show up at 7. It's fine. But then we would just say, for those people, you're welcome to participate. You're welcome to come out. But you probably wouldn't be considered a, quote, member of God Is Now Here. And what's interesting, if you don't mind me saying, is that we grew from the typical 3 to 4 people that we've had for pretty much ever. We got all the way up to 13. We had one woman, which it was interesting to have a woman try to be an apologist, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
What I mean by try is just that it's a brutal world. You got to be willing to, I guess, be cursed and yelled at. And it's just not easy to just take that and go, "Oh, I don't mind if someone curses at me and yells at me." but, you know, you do have to get used to that. So I guess one thing, and I'm probably cutting, you know, just to an important part, at least the way I think. I remember one time I was 30 feet or 40 feet away from the tent, and I was looking back at the tent, and it was crammed. I mean, there were probably 30, 40 people, at least, just all crammed in that little area. And I wasn't even there. I wasn't doing anything. I was just watching. And I was blessed because I didn't have to be there. I didn't have to do that. And maybe, you know, if you don't mind me saying, kind of getting back to Bob, no matter who you talk to, doesn't matter who, they're going to say, "Oh, I didn't know he did that."
Oh, yeah. People at the memorial, they're like, "Really? Bob was involved with all that stuff?" It was remarkable. Right. We'll have to, and for this show summary that we post to the web, we'll have to put a link to his memorial. It was really good. Well, you know what, Daniel? I want to do a part two of the show because this went so fast. It was so fun talking about this. We're actually out of time.
We didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. We went now, here, or nowhere. No.
That's right.
but I still want to talk about, I know you spent time with Bob. You got to go to Hollywood with him when he did the TV shows. And
that's
then
right.
Some of the encounters you had in the tent, would love to go through those. And then you've got one word that proves God, and I thought it would be cool for you to go through that, and that's kind of more on the science side. So, Daniel, if you're willing and able, I'd love to do a part two of this show next week.
I'm so interested, and you know I love talking about the Lord. I love talking about Bob and the ministry and KGov and RSR and the plot. I love it all, and my joy to be able to talk about these things.
Great. Again, please, everybody, visit the store, rsr.org/store, and there's so many things you can do to help the ministry and help us stay on the air. We're still running Fridays at 3 p.m. on AM 670. It's a 50,000-watt blowtorch. And we're also on podcasts that you can find with all kinds of different ways, like through Spotify, or just go to our website, rsr.org, and you'll be able to listen to the latest shows. And we've got everything archived there. So For Real Science Radio, this is Fred Williams. May God bless you.
If you enjoy Real Science Radio and other content put out by KGov.com, consider helping with our November 2021 telethon by sponsoring either one show a month or a one-time show. You can do that by going to rsr.org or KGov.com and clicking the telethon banner at the top of the site and sponsoring a show as either a one-time thing or on a monthly basis. Today's show was sponsored by Dana H. from Littleton, Colorado. Thank you for your support. God bless.